knock on our door.
Knock, knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my good friend Derek Green of Sepultura. Sepultura have released their Machine Messiah album last year. It made my top 10 list, by the way. They are currently on tour in support of it. And Derek joins me. Derek, how's the tour going so far? You're in Hamburg today.
Yeah, in Hamburg. It's going really well. It's been a lot of fun. We're touring with Fit for an Autopsy, Goat Whore, and Obscura. Oh. So it's been a really diverse group of bands, you know, which has really added to the tour and the curiosity of people coming to the shows. And along with the new album, it's like a great mixture and a great package. So it's been going very well.
I went on last year, I went on Banger TV with Sam Dunn, and we talked about Sepultura only.
You're right. I watched that episode. It was fantastic, man. You went through the whole chronological order of the band, which it's pretty amazing.
And I said, I thought Machine Messiah was a marked shift, a new era.
Absolutely.
It marked something new with you guys. That's a huge thing, considering, you know, how long Sepultura has been around, how many eras it's been, and how much ground you've already covered. To have an album that breaks even newer ground in your discography is quite a feat. So hats off to you guys.
Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. And it's definitely that feeling, you know, that's going around us right now. It's that we really want to step into, you know, something different. You know, it happened so naturally, and it's great that, you know, people are really able to understand that and to really relate to it.
But yeah, absolutely. But you're here. You knocked on the door. I've been waiting for you. There's no girls to kiss here. Just a his kiss. we're going to talk about Three's Company, so let's do it. Season 3, Episode 8, Larry's Bride. It aired October 31st, 1978, directed by Dave Powers, written by Martin Roth. Larry gets engaged, but his bride-to-be hits on Jack. Now Jack has to tell Larry, but can't bring himself to do it. What did you think of Larry's Bride?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, I thought it was just so crazy. They just started off like no, like, build up to how Larry met this girl. And it just kind of like, it was just like, Larry, I'm getting married. And it was like the most shocking thing because he was the ultimate bachelor.
Yeah.
And so just out of nowhere coming in and saying, you know, I'm getting married, which I thought was a little strange. But, you know, first meeting her, you know, there was definitely something really weird with the nicknames that they had and everything. It was just like, okay, where is this going to go?
Poopsie Whoopsie and Cuddle Cakes?
Yeah, Cuddle Cakes.
Well, there is a theory floating around in the Three's Company universe, and yes, there is a universe of Three's Company,
right,
that Larry never had any game. He never got any girl he said he did or wanted anything.
Right. Which is totally believable. I mean, because Larry was just extremely superficial, but almost kind of sad in a way, you know, like he was, but he was very self-confident, you know, in a lot of ways as well. But I don't know if that was like a facade or anything.
So. Yeah, see, yeah, who knows? this episode, I think, is really groundbreaking because it's the first episode in the series which is driven by Larry. And it really made his character into a real, legitimate supporting character rather than a bit player.
Right, right.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah, so Gloria is the fiancée now, and she hits on Jack, but that's because her and Jack went to school together, apparently. And I thought there were some really great scenes here as well, like the where Jack gets drunk. I don't know if you can air those scenes.
He drinks like an entire bottle of whiskey.
And I don't know if you can, like, because in Cheers, the television show Cheers, I don't know how much drinking they showed on the actual show that took place in a bar, you know. So I was always wary of, like, if they were allowed to show people getting drunk or.
I think they were really pushing, you know, the envelope there. I mean, they were really trying to break the boundaries. And so I guess it was pretty unusual him drinking an entire bottle of whiskey by himself, you know, trying to break the news to Larry. But it was, I mean, it was pretty funny, you know, and I mean, he's so physical, such a physical actor, you know, and taking it to another level and, you know, retelling the story, you know, in a way where it's just, it was, you know, pretty comical, you know, when it comes down to the end. And then just Larry kind of being cool with it, like, hey, I know you hit on my girl. And it's just like, whoa, Larry, you know. Like, it's just a whole new Larry that I never imagined, you know. But it was really, really funny, I think. You know, Jack really was, you know, going overboard in his physical aspects, you know, of his character. I mean, with the oven and, you know, just all out, you know. It was really cool to see.
Yeah, and it's interesting when he tries to recreate or show the girls that he wasn't coming on to Gloria. The stove is still on. Like it's weird. Isn't that a fire hazard?
The stove is always hot, you know, he's always cooking, you know.
It's a fire hazard, man. but and then it ends with an impromptu wedding by the Ropers, which is kind of sweet in a way.
Right, right. I mean, it's like, it's really great that they, Mrs. Roper is just like, okay, you can do this at our place. And, I mean, it was also weird because I don't believe you saw Larry after that. Like, after his scene of meeting with Jack, I'm trying to remember, like, did he actually meet with Jack, like, after the wedding? Like, after it was all not going to happen? He just kind of drifted off.
Yeah, no. Like
It was like the main topic, and then it was like, oh, well, he's out of there. You know, it's just like, wait a minute, he was supposed to get married, you're not going to see his reaction or anything?
All he did was leave a letter to Jack, and that was it.
Right. I think they should have wrote him in, like, definitely like, got him more involved. But I don't know if he, with the actual character, Larry, was really happy with his lines and his role on the show. Were you able to ever talk with him?
No, not yet. I've been trying to track him down. He's actually easy. Really? Yeah, Richard Klein is actually easy to get to, but it's whether or not he responds. And I will reveal that he has responded to me once. But not while I've been doing this podcast. This was when I wasn't even doing the podcast.
What are you doing, man?
That's what I was like. That's when I said to myself, man, I should do a podcast because this has already taken over my life. So maybe I should make a podcast out of this. But I'm going to try and track him down. I mean, having a podcast is definitely fuel to you know, get their attention and bring them on. I have had Reverend Chrissy Snow on. Peter Mark Richmond was on.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So Larry is definitely is a dream interview for the Regal Beagle. I mean, he's one of the original cast. So.
Oh, absolutely.
There's not much left. There's Janet, Larry, Terry, and Cindy.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Even Jim the bartender passed away.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Another thing about the episode is it's the second time we see Mr. Roper show his true talent, Norman Fell's talent at the Bugle.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So that's something.
I mean, but, it's insane though, because can you hear me?
Yeah.
What was really interesting is the dynamics of the Ropers. It was like, I could see where they're like, okay, can this go on? You know, like this tension, you know, that's between them, you know, this sexual tension of Mrs. Roper always wanting sex and him completely denying it and, you know, looking at the camera, you know, doing these jokes.
Yeah.
And I just remember, I was like, wow. I mean, rewatching it, I was like, God, they do that so much. Like, I guess they got really, like, how far can we go with this until it just becomes, like, really the same old thing? And I guess the whole, like, I just don't understand when they were like, okay, let's do a separate show for you guys so you can do that same dynamic and a different TV show.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
For 30 minutes now instead of like every 2 minutes.
Right. So I thought that was interesting because I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much he's really, they go at it, you know, like really miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why it's a bit of a spoiler to talk about Furley at this stage because we're only on season three, but
yeah, that's true.
That's why I liked Furley, though, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I mean, the episode was pretty, it was this really weird ending. It was just kind of like, Larry's not going to come back. The bride is gone. She's going to climb through the window and go on and the Ropers will have the wedding, which was kind of nice.
Yeah. But so it's not a thumbs up or a thumbs down for you.
Is not it a thumbs down. I mean, it was definitely like a shocker because I was like, Larry getting married? And I was expecting, you know, a real, I don't know, more of a bombshell of a girl, you know, but.
Right.
Ended
right.
up where she was like.
Right.
Arriving in the end, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, Derek, thanks a lot for knocking on our door this week. And please come by next week.
Please. I will definitely be there.
All right. See you then.
All right, man. Take care.